We'll be in Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6. And we're looking tonight at mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. I believe the Lord had us to hone in on this verse tonight that we're going to launch from. Lord's had it on my heart the last few weeks especially. But we had our soul winning seminar, different things going on Sunday evenings. But I believe the Lord would have us to look at it on Sunday evening. Proverbs chapter 16 in verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house. Thank you for all those able to come out tonight. Ask you to be with those unable to be here. Just ask you, Lord, to give them strength, healing, encouragement tonight. And I just ask you to meet with us. I ask you to give me the words you'd have me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, we're going to take a familiar passage of Scripture, especially within the faith-based addictions recovery circle or community, you could call it. In verse 6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And we're going to see how we can apply the truth within this verse to not only our lives, but to the lives of others. We are a world, it should be apparent to us, that is plagued by iniquity. We are a nation that is plagued by iniquity. Sadly, the Church of the Living God at times is oftentimes also plagued with iniquity. And the verse that we'll be looking at tonight gives us the formula for purging iniquity, whether it's you or someone else. And as you know, we are a church of individuals, we are a nation of individuals, we are a world of individuals. So diving into this verse tonight, what does iniquity mean? Iniquity means a particular deviation from rectitude, a sin or crime, wickedness, any act of injustice. We could also say that iniquity is sin. And sins are transgressions against God. We recognize that God has a rule of law. It's His word. Any deviation from His word, from this book, is a transgression against God. Now, we'll reference Isaiah 59 and verse 3. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. So the Church of the Living God must understand that it cannot sin at will and still have fellowship with God. When you sin, sin stands between you and God, which means in order to get to God, sin must be dealt with. You cannot go around sin and gain access to God. You must go through your sin to get to God. And by going to God and casting your sin upon Him, you gain access to God to where sin is no longer between you and Him. Now, we referenced this during our soul winning seminar that Christ died for our sin. If sin could be bypassed, if sin could be avoided, then Christ could have avoided the cross altogether. If in the garden, He cried, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, thine will be done. It was God's will that sin be paid for. And it was sin that had to be paid for. There's no way around the cross for Jesus Christ. And when you come to Christ the first time upon salvation to have your sins forgiven, to have a home in heaven, you are recognizing yourself as a sinner. You recognize that your sin stands between you and God the Father. You recognize that you are not at peace with God, but in all actuality, you are at war with God. And by faith, you place trust in Jesus Christ and His finished work on the Calvary. So you cannot go around sin. It must be dealt with. So you take your sin to the only one who can deal with it. Many of us have learned the hard way that our sin was not something that we could deal with. There are some sins, and I've been honest with y'all before, there are some sins that you can just quit. Just like that. But for many of us, there are others that it took time. It took work. It took a degree of surrender. And when I say work, I mean the Lord's work through us, because we had already tried to work it out and couldn't get rid of it. People say sometimes, I feel like God doesn't hear me. Do you have sin in your life? You may say, well, we all do. Well, right, that's true, but you have confessed and repentant sinners who are trying and striving, and then you have those who have just accepted their sin, accepted their behavior, and justifying their sin by saying they're no different than any other sinner, and that's where they're wrong. A lost sinner and a saved sinner isn't the same kind of sinner. An unrepentant believer with sin in their life is not the same kind of sinner as a repentant believer who is trying to do right with the sin in their life before God. God not only views the sin, but God views the sinner and where their heart is about their sin. So in order for iniquity to be purged, whether it's you or you're ministering to someone, how do you help them? Proverbs 16 and verse 6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Read a definition of mercy here tonight. It means that benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of heart, which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. The disposition that tempers justice and induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries, and to forbear punishment or inflict less than the law or justice will warrant. In this sense, there is perhaps no word in our language precisely synonymous with mercy. That which comes nearest to it is grace. It implies benevolence, tenderness, mildness, pity or compassion, and clemency, but exercised only towards offenders. Mercy is a distinguishing attribute of the supreme being. So mercy can only be given to someone who has offended you. You know why God is the only one who can extend mercy over sin? Because sin is a transgression against God. Mercy is a distinguishing attribute of the supreme being. Think of John 6 and verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Notice this last part. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Let me ask you tonight, have you given mercy to everyone that has ever come to you seeking mercy? No, because we aren't by nature merciful people. Our flesh will hold things above the heads of other people. Yeah, I'll tell you what really helped me in the ministry is when I learned that when people reject counsel and they reject help, that they're not rejecting me. That was a big thing that helped me in the ministry, to realize that, to not take it personal. There are people who are truly struggling. There are people who truly have sin in their lives that is beyond their power to free them from, and it's beyond my power to free them from. You know, our flesh doesn't forgive people too easy. Our flesh will stay mad for long periods of time. Our flesh will seek judgment on someone who has offended us, rather than looking past it and not holding it against them. But God has a different standard. And it's not that he turns his head to sin. He's keeping record. It's kind of like maybe if you are in an authority position, maybe you're in leadership at work, or think of a time at some point when you were, and there were those who were under your authority. You didn't go to them about everything you saw. It was mercy. Mercy steps into play. You don't want to constantly be riding people. You ride them, you're not going to do them no good. It's going to be counterintuitive. It's going to backfire on you. There's some mercy. You let some things slide, but it don't mean you're not keeping track. Because the list adds up, and it's going to reach a point to where you say, you know what? Mercy has run out. And now it's time for justice. It's time for judgment. See, God don't turn a blind eye. He's just not what some people like to think he is, where he's up in the sky and he's cracking a whip on every little thing that we do. But he is paying attention and he knows. Now, I'm thankful for God's mercy. I'm thankful for that because when I was away from God, running from the call to preach in the Marines and living the life that I was living, you know, I could testify that there would be a month, 2, maybe 3 months, then the Lord would come and hit me like a ton of bricks. What are you doing? What are you doing? But you know what? It wasn't necessarily every single day the Lord beating me over the head. But you know what? Sometimes we do that with people, and we got to be careful about that. Can't beat them over the head. You know, God has a different standard. He's got a different rule. He's got a different marker. In John 6 and verse 37, the latter part of the verse says, "And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." So God has mercy, and God has given us mercy. So we take this mercy and we apply it to others. You know, one of the worst sights in the world is somebody, in my opinion, who has received much mercy, but not willing to extend any. They've received so much grace, but they're not willing to extend grace. It's sad. Those who have received much forgiveness for their sins, there's something in the Bible about that. We have received much forgiveness, but at times we're slow to extend forgiveness to other people. Well, nobody will ever do more to us than what we did to Christ. And we would do well to be reminded of that. Take mercy and apply it to others. But don't just stop at mercy and withhold truth. Now, if we're honest tonight, we fall on both sides of this. Sometimes we're way too merciful, and there's been times I needed to say something to somebody and I didn't say it. I withheld truth. There's been times that's happened. And then there was times where I was all truth and withheld mercy. Ministering's a balance of mercy and truth and grace and truth. It truly is a balance. Mercy isn't available to reject truth, to reject growth. Grace isn't to be misused for the same reasons. It's kind of like if you've ever went bowling and you bowled in a lane that has the bumpers in them. The bumper prevents you from going in the gutter. But just because you have the bumpers don't mean you aim for the bumpers. The bumpers are there just in case you stray. But the goal in bowling is to still get a good roll. In life, you don't do what you want because you have grace, because you have mercy. You live the best you can through Christ while knowing if you fall and when you fall, you serve a good and gracious, merciful, loving, and compassionate God. So mercy needs truth. Truth means conformity to fact or reality. Exact accordance with that which is or has been or shall be. Proverbs 8:7, my mouth shall speak truth. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So those who will ignore truth, who don't value truth, they'll never become sanctified because they don't value truth. And there was a time in my life I was not sanctified because I did not value truth. I ran from the word, I ran from church, I ran from the preacher, I ran from believers. Somebody who does that will never be sanctified because they always resist truth. And God's judgment is going to fall on them because they resist truth. You resist it, then ultimately we are to blame for where we are. And one of these days, I want to preach a message that the Lord used in my life, and it's the bottom that precedes revival. Deals with a prodigal son. And it was my life. Essentially my life in a message. One of these days we'll look at it. I've come at it from a different angle before too, in another message about the prodigal son that deals with the mud specifically. And being thankful for the mud. Because it was the mud that the Lord sent my way that he used to bring me back. If it wasn't for the mud, I wouldn't have came back. But it was the mud. And it was people not washing the mud off of me that brought me back. Leonard Ravenhill said, not Leonard Ravenhill, Vance Havner, old Southern Baptist preacher, said he's glad the liberals weren't around during the days of the prodigal son, or they'd have gave him a sandwich and a drink, and he'd have never gone home. I thank God for my time in the mud. I wouldn't be here. Thank God for my time with the swine. I wouldn't be here. Thank God for the times I was at rock bottom, because I wouldn't be here. And yeah, in rock bottom, I was blaming everybody around me. And I was blaming God for the mud, too. But if it wasn't for it, I'd have never came back home. And I can thank him in hindsight for it. The ultimate standard of truth is God's word. So in order for iniquity to be purged, truth must be poured into the life of the one with iniquity. And the more truth is poured into their life, the less room they'll have for iniquity. I've used this illustration before. One night I let my coffee get cold. It was down to the bottom. Went to pour out my coffee one night in the sink. I poured my coffee into a clear glass for whatever reason that was in the sink rather than just down the drain. I don't know why. I just for whatever reason poured it into the glass in the sink. And then I thought about this concept here. So then I turned on the faucet, and as the water ran into the glass, the coffee began to overflow. And within just a matter of seconds, all the coffee had been replaced with clear water. And it was a reminder that you and I will become what we put into our life. And in order for your life to be pure, and in order for the lives of those who you minister to live a pure life, you must pour in truth. Which means truth must be embraced in order for iniquity to be purged. Going back to the illustration, if I put a lid on that same glass that was in the sink that had coffee in it, I could run water over the top of that glass for hours, days, weeks, months, years, and the contents of that cup would still be coffee because water wasn't allowed in. And this is how people can live their lives as monsters of iniquity, because mercy and truth go together for iniquity to be purged. Some people, if we're honest, their mercy should have ran out a long time ago, and it's time for truth. It's time for justice. It's time for judgment. And God knows when, and God knows who they are. But mercy and truth must go together for iniquity to be purged. There's a movement that's picking up a lot of steam as of late. It's mercy without truth. Now the supply is there because the demand is there. Follow the demand, you'll find a supply, even in business. Never does a company come out with something to attempt to market it without testing it. They care about demand because demand's money. You don't flood a market with a product before you know what you need. When it comes to people, the devil has been working within them to create a need. That need then creates demand. Demand creates supply. So as the devil turns the people, and the people then desire and create demand, the devil raises up a supplier to meet the demand. We looked at this psalm on Wednesday night. People craved alcohol. People wanted it. People were producing it themselves before it was ever made legal and massively produced. The devil creates demand. The devil creates need, and then he creates a supplier. And the devil knows that supply means absolutely nothing unless the people want it. See, the devil's after the wants of man. God's after the needs of man. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 through 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. When you read this verse, those who want their ears itched, the devil plants that desire within them. They find. See, because the devil has raised up a supply to meet their demand. They accumulate teachers who will tell them what they want to hear and not what they need to hear. And there are people who want to live how they want and just receive mercy as they live however they want, but this is not of God. If iniquity is not purged, it either comes down to a lack of mercy and truth being imparted into their life or a lack of willingness on one's part to receive truth. So those who reject truth, this is an individual who desires favor without repentance. They desire favor without truth. They don't want to hear truth sometimes. They want to pass. There was a time in my life I wanted to pass. As some people have wisely said, they want their cake and they want to eat it too, kind of thing. You want to do what you want to do and you want to have peace still. You want to do what you want to do and have joy still. Doesn't work that way. What does Numbers 14, 18 say? The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. When you trust Christ as your Savior, Christ imparts upon you His righteousness. With that, you're no longer guilty. You've been pardoned. You've been set free spiritually. You've received a verdict of spiritually not guilty. So the Lord's long-suffering, how many of you can testify to the Lord's long-suffering in your own life? You know that He had much patience with you as you lived your own way, doing your own thing. You know because you've lived a season in your life apart from Him. You know of the Lord's great mercy. Sure, all of you can testify to the fact that when you came to God, He bestowed upon you His mercy. Looking past your sin and seeing your need. According to Numbers 18, the Lord forgives the iniquities and the transgressions against Him as His mercy is poured out. But this is if you trust Him. If you don't, God doesn't clear the guilty. You're guilty. Your sentence is guilty. And this is what folks need to know, that there's a higher court in heaven where the most supreme judge resides. His rulings are final. They come with eternal destinations, heaven or hell. So as you minister to those enslaved to iniquity, and as you seek to draw closer to the Lord, remember what it takes for iniquity to be purged. One thing we all have in common is iniquity. We all have it. We all need less of it. And it's only by mercy and truth that iniquity is purged. Now I tell you what, and I've dealt with this at times even in my own life, and I've dealt with many people over the years. Who struggle at forgiving themselves. Who struggle with being merciful with themselves. Sometimes there's kind of two sides of that coin. Sometimes we're good at giving ourselves a pass and not too good at giving others a pass. But then there are times that we tie our own selves to the whipping post and wouldn't dare tie anyone else to the whipping post. We can't forgive ourselves. We'll forgive others, but we can't forgive ourselves. We'll be merciful towards others, but we won't be merciful towards ourselves. We'll be gracious towards them. We won't be gracious towards ourselves. And I've dealt with people at times who they just couldn't forgive themselves. They would move on from whatever it was that they did if they would just forgive themselves. They would just extend mercy their way, extend grace their way. So when it comes to others and we think about iniquity being purged, yes, be merciful to them, and yes, impart truth into their lives. But when it comes to the iniquity that we all have, we need to be reminded of these things too, because it doesn't change just because it's us. It's still the same concept, mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. Be honest with yourself too. You got to be willing to do that. Don't just be merciful with yourself, but not honest with yourself. Don't just apply the Lord's mercy and read verses about the Lord's mercy in the Bible. Impart some truth. One of the things that they changed it, but Brother Glosser probably remembers it, but early on in RU, they had what they called their prescription cards. I don't know if you remember that, but they did change that a little later on where that wasn't the case anymore. They were doing something a little different. But early on, I mean, you come into the chat to the program and you have something that you're dealing with, some struggle, and then the second talk leader writes you out a prescription. But your prescription was verses. Verses to take home that specifically applied to your situation. Specifically to what you were dealing with. And that was your script for the week. And every week you come back. Sometimes it's a different struggle. You say, you know what, I'm past that now. I've moved beyond that. Here's what I'm dealing with this week. Okay. Here's another script for this upcoming week. It's more verses. More verses for you to look at. More verses for you to study. So remember, be merciful with yourself, but also take a look in the Word. I invite you to do a Word study in the Scriptures. Whatever it is that your struggle may be tonight, and we all have them, study exhaustively what the Lord has to say about it. I promise you, you'll walk away stirred. You'll walk away challenged. You'll walk away convicted. You'll be reminded of what God's position on the subject is. And again, when you fail, and we all do, we all will, go to God first. And if God will forgive you, and He will, and if God will cleanse you, and He will, and if God will be merciful to you, and He will, then forgive yourself, forget about it, move on. Slate's clear. Just move on from it and be merciful to yourself. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for your Word.